Good evening and welcome to the movements against state-controlled internet in Turkey. Your presenters are Zeyda and Barış. And the Signal Angel has one question. How many of you do speak Turkish? Okay, so it's four people. You can ask questions anytime, but if you want to do so, or if you do so, please come to me. I have a microphone, or go over there to Tatiana, who also has a microphone, and talk into the microphone. Otherwise, the people on the stream won't be able to hear you. Thank you, and welcome, your presenters.
We'll go with the introduction. İyi akşamlar, guten Abend, good evening. Right. Well, our talk, I think the title does a good job of what we want to talk about. Internet censorship is a concern that is growing in many parts of the world. The internet is a global infrastructure, yet its regulation and control is done in local contexts, using local strategies. At the same time, what we see is that the same strategies get imported and exported across countries. We will try to show a little bit of the example of how internet is being censored in Turkey, the terminology that is used, the legal codification and the not so legal codification of that. And we will try to use that as a starting point to talk about global strategies. What can we do about this, these local controls, and how can we act against them globally? Turkey hit the news in 2007 when they blocked access to YouTube. It was one of the biggest mistakes they made. If you want to censor the internet, you don't start with the biggest site. Shortly after they blocked access to certain Google services, they used different forms, sometimes DNS, sometimes IP blocking. And this was rather worrying for me. I don't live in Turkey myself. And I was getting all these bad news, and there was a moment where I started getting some good news and saw some pictures of people on the streets and noticed that there are people who are actively organizing and doing something about this. And in September, I had the pleasure to meet some of these people. Barış is one of them. We were actually going to be four. Two of us are not here tonight. Well, in spirit they are. So what we'd like to do is talk about what has happened, talk about how there has been resistance and how this has succeeded and sometimes failed. And then we'll talk a little bit about the problems, where do they lie in the context of Turkey. But then we'll try to zoom out and see what we can do all together. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Barış. I'd like to talk about our small organization, what we do and what we face in Turkey about technology and internet problems. The outline is first who we are and what we do. Then I'll talk about the situation in Turkey to introduce you. Then a short history of internet freedom in Turkey. And then the problems we have enumerated. First, who we are. We are called Alternative Bilişim. We are part of these movements, a small part of these movements. It's Alternative Informatics in English. A small network of researchers, engineers, as well as users for finding alternative ideas and solutions on politics and social consequences of technology, as well as technical means to approach these problems. We are distributed to several web pages now. Some of them are blogs, some of them are Turkish and English content. I made bold two of them that contains English content. This is how we were founded. First was there I were working with some researchers about digital game culture, and they came up with this book on digital game industry and digital game reader that compared to traditional games, etc. And they went to more to new media in general, and Facebook, how it's used in practice in Turkey, and about hate speech and hate crimes in Turkey. especially nationalist ones. Then there were also other bloggers researching and sharing what they know and what they see. And we somehow met each other, and Ali especially helped us. He's a freelance web developer. He couldn't come here because he has problems with his clients. And here is Mutlu Binark, the digital game and new media research. Özgür Uçkan, about internet censorship. And we somehow formed a network through a mailing list. And what interests us? Freedom to online expression, freedom to access information, freedom to create, share online content, state control, online censorship, surveillance, as well as free software, creative commons and copyright issues, and creative industries like digital games and economy, politics, etc. But as far as we can go in that direction. We are now nearly 50 members. We communicate through our mailing list online. We communicate to participate in conferences, sometimes mass release. It changes. We publish statements on government policies sometimes. Then organize meetings to discuss some hot issues at times, and publish free ebooks whenever the content comes available. Here are some of the events that we participated in. The Internet Conference in Turkey. It's an annual conference that includes people from technical side, social side, sharing their papers in Turkey. In 15th of May, there was an mass rally, enormous mass rally, Don't Touch My Internet. We'll come to that later. We participated in the May Day in 2011. There was this Labour Start conference in which labour unions discuss how to use new media to organize themselves, to form networks. And there is also sometimes seminars or meetings about digital games. We are especially interested in game jams and such events that organize new communities of developers. And there was also this Alternative Media Festival, which was an alternative to some mainstream media, new media event that was commercial oriented. So I'll give some examples of what we did. For example, last year we made a street declaration to support WikiLeaks. And it was near the beginning of the foundation of association. We are nearly 1 year old. Next month, we held a meeting to discuss WikiLeaks and ongoing events in Tunisia and especially Egypt then. And we shared ideas. Then from these ideas, we wrote articles and collected them in an ebook, free ebook, which also included some translations. And other articles at that time on the subject. And it's in Turkish, means Brave New Media, its name. And it's available for LaTeX and PDF download. Another issue was the safe internet decision. We'll talk about that. We participate in the rally. We made a statement and discussion against the decision. We was invited to the consequent quasi-governance, so to say, meeting, and we made a statement to expose the intentions of this meeting, as well as a statement against their next proposal, and looking at what did they modify, and what did they imply. So here is an example of our statements. On the second filter decision, discussing and criticizing it. You can find other English texts on our websites. And also, we have to say that there are others. Most of them are somewhat spontaneously created, and they correspond to different periods of struggle, we may say. But there are many small initiatives for internet freedom. Now we came to the situation in Turkey. We have to say the two big milestones in Turkish history, near history, 1980 coup d'etat and 2002 when AKP came in power. And in both of these periods, the Kurdish problem was continuing and warring with PKK since 1984. Tens of thousands of people die in two sides, etc. The mainstream politics is divided between two poles, the conservative, represented by AKP, and secularism, represented by CHP. But we have to say conservatives are protectionist, but secularists are also protectionist. I'll show you an example. In general, until 2002, there was this old order with high inflation, continual financial crisis, war crimes being exposed, corruption, and coalition governments, somewhat unstable in politics. And now there is this new order, as it is seen, with low inflation, economic growth, it's unequal, but still growing. But there is this all-pervasive hegemony of AKP and Erdogan and conservative transformation of culture. So here is the example about the conservatives and secularists. These are the categories for blocking websites. Conservatives came up with the first seven categories, and the secularists did not oppose the censorship, but added that eighth category, crimes against Atatürk. So they just signed their name, and they are still for censorship. Okay. Provocation for committing suicide. Sexual exploitation of children, to ease the use of drugs, that's how they translate, supplying drugs which are dangerous for health, obscenity, ambiguous obscenity, prostitution to provide place and opportunity for online gambling, and of course, crimes against Atatürk. And they supply these images in case we don't understand. So, child abuse material, and of course, crimes against Atatürk. So, we go on with the situation. We have to say that media, before new media, is traditionally censored, manipulated. They are used to that. The newspapers, TVs, owned by a few big corporations, holdings. And there is this Radio Television High Council, and they are fining anything they don't like, some images, some words from the media. If you use some words, you have to pay afterwards, but it's unpredictable. For example, you can't say Kurdistan, but east of Turkey. You can't say police attacked, but intervened. Guerrilla, not but terrorists. Not captive, but convict, like that. There are also some odd things like pistol pointed to camera or something against morality or anything they come up with. And they don't warn before fining, and they can fine enormous amounts. So it's a constant threat for media. An example is this. Harakiri is a comic magazine, and it was fined 150,000 Turkish liras for making people making Turkish people, especially, adventurous and lazy. That's their justification. So they have some kind of sense of humor themselves. And harakiri, you know, it means suicide. So it was like a suicide, so the magazine closed down. Okay. Another example is Ahmet Şık, a journalist now in prison for attempting to write a book on Fethullah Gülen sect in police department, which is called Imam's Army. And the prosecutor, after arresting the author, tried to confiscate all digital copies of the book draft. It's draft because it's not published. They go to computers and they say, delete it from your email. Don't take pictures like that. However, it's leaked and it was published by signs by many authors as an act of civil disobedience. Now you can find this book everywhere. So some strange things happen. About telecom situation, there is Türk Telekom, the single phone company. It was state institution, but it was privatized. And it owns all ADSL infrastructure. There is an authority, and so-called independent authority, on information and communication technology for regulating and controlling the telecom sector. But sector may include customers, which are citizens. We'll come to that. This is their website, the Turkish abbreviation BTK, safer internet, blocking, etc. And this is the presidency about internet. They just have two announcements, and that page for denouncing websites on 8 categories. Not much content. But they work hard. Okay. Now we come to a short history of internet freedom. Firstly, there are three periods. The first period was they used blocking by court orders as a precaution. In the second period, they additionally could use administrative decision for blocking websites. And in 2011, there came this safer internet service, which is Filter. We have to say those in power are never content with the current censorship mechanisms, so they always introduce new ones, and they just want to block anything without any paperwork and without any effort, just by a click and having to report no one. And all these mechanisms, of course, work separately like backups. The first period, there was something to remember earlier when they attempted to enforce press law on the internet. Because if you have a magazine, you have to bring its hard copies to apply for it. So if you have an internet web page, you should also print its hard copies when you are updating your web page and apply to the government institution. Of course, it was nonsense. It couldn't be applied. But even the fact that it was put forward is telling. And until 2007, the existing laws was used to block websites through courts, court decisions as a precaution, and this included websites like WordPress and YouTube. Just because of one page of content, whole domain is blocked as a precaution, and as a result, everyone gained practical knowledge to change DNS and use web proxies when needed. Yeah. There's an interesting statement by the Prime Minister Erdogan. He said, I'm using YouTube, why don't you? When it was blocked. So this was what we saw when we tried to go into a blocked web page. The access to this web page is blocked by court decision. And there was some websites began to use this image, blocking their own websites. And with the same font and design, this site is blocked by its own decision. This hundreds of web pages joined to this action, and they became this one of those movements I talked about, censure, censure, until they got bored, of course. In the for the second period, firstly they made preparation. Using news propaganda to create moral panic on child abuse, child pornography, which is a non-problem, but it became a problem through media manipulation. Then they introduced an infamous law, 5651, overnight. No one was informed about how it was prepared. And in this law, Parliament authorizes ICTA to block websites in those eight categories, including obscenity. And, of course, crimes against Atatürk. And they also give administrative blocking, in addition to court precautions, on obscenity and child pornography. But we have to say that this list does not include hate crimes and hate speech. That's also an important thing not to miss. As a result of this censorship law, as we call it, a platform against censorship was formed and organized a rally, a first internet freedom rally, in which 5,000 people came up. It was people usually rallied, but not as cheerful as this one. This was something new. As you can see, the images and the slogans that was used. Then, after then, we get at February 2011 the first decision to deploy filters for the internet. But we didn't know until a few months later when a journalist found it out and exposed it. And after that, there was an enormous reaction. Okay, we'll come to that. First, what is filter? It's called Safe Internet Service. ICTA made a decision to force ISPs to deploy filters free from charge under profiles, standard, domestic, child, family. These four profiles. For all internet users in Turkey. And also it authorized itself to fully determine the content of these filters. If you don't want to use a filter, they say, okay, you use the standard profile. But that was suspicious, because if I don't want to use the filter, why is it a profile? And we interpreted it as being a mandatory filter. You always have to be inside a profile, which means that terms of that profile can change in the future. because it's something called a name by the state. And as a result, the second censorship law created an enormous reaction. Somebody opened a Facebook event and 600,000 people attended virtually, and 60,000 people attended really in Istanbul, and also hundreds of people in tens of other cities. So it was really a spontaneous reaction, a one-time reaction, but nevertheless, you can see this one is Istanbul, Istiklal Street, full of people. And you can see the attitude changed a bit. And you can even see from the faces that it has changed. People get angry now. Now we are angry. After that, they held an internet council meeting, which we call a pseudo-governance meeting, in which this internet council is called only a few times a year for these types of meetings to ask our ideas and take into account people, etc. So we was also invited to that meeting and told what we wanted, what we are against, etc. And all the people was against that decision, those who were invited. But after the meeting, they wrote a report fully ignoring what was discussed in the meeting, and they just manipulated things. This is the second decision, which became a draft now, on the August of 2011, and they gave 10 days for us to give our opinions for them to take into account. In this draft, it's interesting changes were made. The standard and domestic profiles were dropped. In fact, domestic profile was also nonsense because it only allowed servers inside Turkey, which is nothing, basically. But it's interesting that still they propose that type of thing. It could be the dreams. So in the decision text, the wording was changed so that filter word was changed with lists, so that try to make us harder to call it a filter. They formed an advisory council, which did not really have authority. And ISTA was still the single authority to determine the filter contents. And as a result, in November 2011, they deployed this filter. It includes two filters, the child filter with a white list and a family filter with a black list under the name Safe Internet. So ICTA decides what a child should and can see on the internet, and what a family shouldn't or must not see. It's weird. And we applied to the Council of State for its cancellation because it has no legal basis. It's just a decision, not a law. And they exceed their authority. And there's lack of regulation for webmasters whose websites are blocked under different filters. And it's a threat to freedom in general. And this is the third and last decision which was the final deployment. This is a web page that you can query your website. For example, I queried Facebook.com, and families can see it, but children cannot see it. And also, in family filter, there is an option for disabling social media, disabling games, etc., and disabling chat. So there are also other points to make. There was this data protection law, which was proposed to Parliament several times and became a never-ending story over 5 years, because they people want exceptions and the exceptions don't end. And just for show, it's also strange. A data protection legislation was made that relied on this non-existent law. So this was written, it exists, but it's invalid because there is no law. But if someone, some European asks, where is your data protection, here is this legislation. So, and there is this national crypto bylaw in 2010 that requires you to give away any encryption mechanism and private keys you may happen to use. I think we might turn this back at the government. Okay. This month, WikiLeaks spy files exposed several DPI companies, tracking companies, and it included one Turkish company involved in intercepting online communication, and it's called Infocept. Here's their website. And after this exposure, they put on their website a statement, we are 100% Turkish, we are not foreign, etc., as a defense. So they are national protection. Then sometime later, the web page turned into English and the statement was removed. Then there is this National Network Tracking Center, a secret project by ICTA with a company C2 Tech, and they cooperate at least with Microsoft, that we somehow know. We made an information request to ICTA about DPI technologies, and it was denied because it was outside the limits of our right to know. So it's government secret. We do it, but we don't tell you. And this is the company, Deep Packet Inspection, Lawful Interception. That's it. And it's also interesting, a document where an attorney general is requesting from court tracking and recording of emails and MSN of someone through ICTA some program. I showed you the web page of ICTA, you remember? Okay. Now the problems that we see related to internet freedom. First is the democratic legal process, telecom ownership state, the culture on technology, Linux being contained in official discourse, political culture, education for jobs. Firstly, the problem is with how laws are made and how they are enforced. Practically everyone is excluded from this process, except some NGOs that are not really NGOs anymore. Political action, oppositional political action is punished in general. You remember the journalist, writer. No one trusts in the judiciary system except members of the party in power. They have this de facto authority based on ideology and not on lawful justice. So they rely on this pride of Turkishness, national things. And information is manipulated, and independent media is punished as well. So this is the most important central problem. Secondly, the one with telecom ownership of the infrastructure. Türk Telekom practically monopolizes the internet infrastructure. It was privatized in 2005, sold mostly to Saudi owners. There was a workers' strike at 2007 that, after the effects of privatization, of course, that triggered a debate on government support on this monopoly, because a monopoly is more easily controlled by states. It's prone to state control. And there's also this problem for net neutrality, because they are not just infrastructure, but they are offering services in several domains with their companies. So that's also part of ownership problem. Thirdly, the culture is, in general, a consumerist relation to technology due to aggressive marketing of gadgets through advertisements. And usually they are their standard uses for entertainment or status symbols, etc., which creates a superficial relation to technology. And there's a lack of motivation to have real control over the gadgets using their real power, which I think changes in times of crisis, as we saw in Tunisia and Egypt. But we have to be prepared. Third is Linux being inside official discourse. We can think that Linux promoters could serve as an alternative culture on technology, using its potential. But usually, the people fear to participate in politics and only target Microsoft, etc., a professional position instead of a political one. And as a result, it's now officially integrated into national pride and national security discourse. You can see Pardus. It is a Turkish Linux distribution. And the team is located inside the most high security base in Turkish state. So that's gone. Fifth problem is political culture, the opposition movements, especially leftist and Kurdish movements. They are trying to create a third front against the usual polarization of mainstream politics. Of course, they can communicate and organize on the internet, but they have their traditions and their community habits, and they lack the capacity and enthusiasm to use technology to its potential. And in practice, online communication and propaganda, which is really important, secure communication and propaganda to the internet users, but they are limited to standard uses, using creating Facebook pages or more or less simple web pages, because they are not used to work with developers, experts, admins, some kind of productive, creative structure. And the community structure is somehow incompatible with the production needed for using these new technologies. And sixth, and the last thing we say is the education for jobs. as it's becoming. In fact, education is praised by families. Technical knowledge is praised by society in general. But somehow students feel indebted to family and society, and upon graduation they become a white-collar worker, fully dedicating herself to her company and job, and as far as the economy is also growing. Jobs become the center of education, and universities, abundant spaces for shared creativity, they turn into technical schools for jobs, because families are demanding education for jobs, and schools are supplying for their demand. There are several private universities. They use billboards, advertisements. As a result, technical knowledge is still remains to be owned by a small minority, while the majority expects to use it without in-depth knowledge. So we supposed to know, and they just supposed to use. We come to the final part.
Yeah, so thank you. Yeah. Okay, well, thanks again. And yeah, so I guess we've been discussing the last few days that we managed to be together again about what could be steps forward, and also, like, on the one hand, to think about steps forward in Turkey, but also one of the reasons we came to CCC was to meet with the communities that are represented here and to build networks and think about this as a global problem that we have to address locally, but also globally, and to also exchange strategies, because obviously the governments are doing that too. Here are some ideas, and actually there are other questions to you, either during the discussion session or afterwards. We'll also be here the next few days. So one of the, I think for the legal problem that you were talking about, one of the things that definitely needs to happen is procedural transparency. One thing that we could consider is it reasonable to call or to invoke international legal frameworks of which Turkey is a signatory? Is this a way to push the government to actually go through or to respect some of the things that they signed? Is this a reasonable thing, or does this actually become a kind of, you know, Turkey kind of pushing back, saying EU is imposing again, or Europeans are imposing again their imperialist values on us, etc. So that's a strategy that needs to be discussed carefully and at the same time maybe pushed. And other forces that, you know, a lot of the work that you guys are doing and Özgür Uçkan and Yaman Aktin is of asking for legal procedures to be done properly and also transparently. I think those are the local ways of going about this. There's the question of civil society participation. I think that's often a double-edged thing. On the one hand, what happens if civil society participates in making the new list or the new filter? I mean, is this the direction we want to go? Or how should we actually negotiate the terms of participation, especially because participation usually means somebody invites and you go on their terms? Then there's the question of what kind of fundamental rights should we be articulating? Should there be a fundamental right to access to information? Or should there be fundamental limitations with respect to, let's say, deep package inspection or filtering? Like, is that the kind of demands that we should be making, and how should these be articulated? These are, of course, still on the political and more legal vector sort of thing. And then there's the question of technical. I think one of the points you were making, kind of along the lines of, as these filters become technical systems, they go beyond the legal system. So they actually create another system that is very difficult to regulate and make transparent, or even like to make sure that they're conform with the legal rules. So is it reasonable to ask for technical transparency? What would that mean? Is it that we want open source systems? What does it mean to have an open source filtering system? I mean, hard questions, I think. Where I hope that we can also rely on the communities here are technical strategies until we hit a better situation, which is how can we circumvent the existing application of filters and other forms of control of our internet freedoms. What kind of technologies can we offer? I mean, one of the things that we didn't mention is that in the legislation proposals, it also says that web proxy usage is illegal. So they actually do cover that. And so what do you do with that kind of thing? What are reasonable ways to do it? And then to also ask, like, so to have mechanism for watching the watchers, so see what they're doing, to see what kind of proxies you use and you get into trouble, like that kind of requires a constant monitoring of what you can do to circumvent the systems and when you get caught, what happens, and informing people about that. And that means that we have to reverse engineer the systems that they're introducing. And I think for that, we definitely need international technical expertise. Yeah. So that's our talk.
Oh, that was quick. My name is Marietje. I'm a member of the European Parliament working on internet freedom, but also foreign policy, including enlargement, and so Turkey. And I thought it was interesting in terms of what you said about invoking international treaties to keep Turkey to promises, and then you mentioned perhaps there would be a counter-argument of so-called European colonialism. Or something of that nature. I think you said something like that.
Yeah, they
like
come
that
up with words all the time.
Yes, and I think it's important not to fall into that trap. I think you can always hold governments to their own commitments, and that's important, and Turkey has made plenty of those commitments internationally, which it's bound by. And the EU accession process is, of course, not imposed on Turkey, perhaps on the contrary, many Europeans would say. And about 6 months ago, I asked a question to the European Commission whether we should consider internet freedom as one of the accession criteria. Because at the time that these accession criteria were made, internet freedom was not yet such an issue, but free speech, press freedom, human rights, rule of law, of course, are. And the Commission confirmed that indeed internet freedom is an accession criterion. Mm-hmm. So perhaps this community can use that as an argument. One more suggestion, which is about representation in Turkey. I'm not sure if everybody is aware that it's very difficult to be represented on the political level. There's a threshold of 10% in order to be a political party that's represented. So in politics, but also in civil society organizations, a lot of Turkish people or people in Turkey are not represented. Absolutely. And in Brussels or in international platforms, language is a big problem. And perhaps there can be clever ways in which technology can help quickly translate essential issues. Because, for example, the book, Imam's Army, is not available in English yet. The book by some other people, Hanife Avcı, for example, has not been available in English. And a lot of these documents by the Internet Regulating Authority would be very, very helpful to have in English. I spoke to them in Brussels, and I've tried to ask the sharpest questions I could, but if I cannot read their words exactly for what they are, it makes it very difficult to hold them accountable. So I think that would be a huge asset to cross-translate Turkish-English, perhaps find a mechanism together here. And I'll end there. We can stay in touch. I think it could be helpful.
You want to say something?
Yeah. I think European imperialism is more of an ideological manipulation to keep people content than an argument. And the fact that there are no translations, it seems that it was successful and we have to fight it.
Good evening. I'm Okin from Telecomics. First, I want to state that you're doing a really great job fighting this censorship system. And I want to add 2 points. You talk about if people must have access to information. I think everyone should access every kind of information in any type of support or format. and without being armed for that. You cannot ask to the Turkish government to let you access to every kind of information if they're going to monitor you and just logs what you're doing and when you're going to check on Facebook, etc. So that was that's the first point. And the second point, you must ask for having the exact criteria of a blacklisting of a website. You must know which websites are blocked and why they are blocked. And I think you should continue on this path and ask them and force them to have all those data. And I just want to add you, if you want help or if you want to discuss with problem, we have a table here, we've got IRC support, so you're welcome.
Hello. Do you have a question in the chat? You said that 50,000 people demonstrated against the censorship in Istanbul in May 2011. As far as I remember, he says, this was not transported into German media, and as far as I know, in no other media as well. So who supported the demonstration? How was it organized? And how can other people support the protest from outside of Turkey?
It was really spontaneous, just a Facebook event, and there was these a few friends admining a Facebook page, and they got this idea of let's create an event, don't touch my internet, and they wrote a statement, an invitation for people. And thousands of people streamed there. Facebook thought it was spam, etc. They don't take into account the Turkish people's numbers and speed. So those friends found themselves in a position to organize a rally, and they went to these other people that organized the previous rally, and they together just called people and they came up. So I'm a witness. So it happened, but it was, somehow.
Was it communicated to the media, actually, so that they also coverage.
The new media coverage was low, no?
Yeah. I thought that it is manipulated, so.
Yeah, I mean, there was barely media coverage of the demonstrations. I mean, in Turkey as well, so not just in Germany, but it was not covered also by the mainstream media in Turkey.
And also, it was before general elections. So media manipulation is especially important at that time. So.
First, I want to congratulate you to your activities in Turkey. It's a very good thing in my eyes. Congratulations. My origins are from Iran. I came back there 2 weeks ago for a visit, and I saw there a system which is much more worse than what you have in Turkey, but I think it's only to shift the ruler on the one or on the other side. And the one thing I think you can do is to enforce your people to use more and more the internet communication in the Oriental cultures. They love to communicate with their families and so, and that's the thing. You can put the whole power on it and give your expertise. And what I did was to install as much Linux systems and Tor systems that I could in these 2 weeks in Iran. And and I think what we thought about the argument about that they don't want to join like to the European imperialism, there is a lot of things in the Oriental culture which is coming from freedom as well, for instance the Sufi culture and so on, and you can bind this with the freedom of internet and tell the people that there is in their own culture a culture of freedom and that they have to support it. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your activity.
We must be more internationalist.
Hello. Just two practical observations. First of all, publishing blacklists is always a bestseller. It was when it was just the index of the Roman Catholic Church. It was like the first book catalog, and it was also when WikiLeaks published the blacklist of the Australian government. So if you have a way to get it out, then that's sure to be recognized, and they will get a lot of media attention. But that also, the problem is how to get them out without being criminalized. And that's a very, very problematic situation, because every activist faces. And when we look to Europe, it's not only Turkey or Iran, it's also the activists in Europe, because the fundamental rights we fought on a very big real life level have not yet found their way into the internet culture, and especially not in the minds of the politicians who make the decisions now and see what they are doing years later. Thank you.
In fact, I think there was a leaked blacklist of over 1 million websites that was being used to filter internet cafes where young people use. And it, for example, included organizations of gay, lesbian communities, etc.
And we just looked at the latest proposal, and they say that they're not going to provide the ISPs with the blacklist, but the hash values. Which, okay, one-way function, but I mean, you match, right? Like, I don't know, like, it's good they don't know how to do security, which is good news, you know.
Hi, I have two comments. One is like, DNS filters are very interesting because they don't work very well with DNSSEC. So if you start using DNSSEC on the ISP level to protect the user and to protect the internet from criminals who want to attack your recursive DNS server, then these DNS filters will actually say, you know, oop, that domain was not valid, right? So your stop sign was not valid. This is very interesting. So I would recommend that you take a look at the paper published by Paul Vixey and a few others on how DNSSEC interferes with DNS filtering, actually vice versa, the other way around, filtering interferes with DNSSEC. The second comment that I have is, in different countries in Europe, but also like Egypt and a few other countries, they're very interesting community networks and wireless community networks most of the time. And I can give you an example, for example, Serbia, where, you know, people who want to play games put antennas on roofs from one building block to the other. They perform brilliantly, like 100 Mbit or more. And it's sort of their private link. So, you know, if they don't want to have your they don't want to give you the internet that you deserve, you know, you build your internet, right? And there's a workshop tomorrow in the evening, free networks workshop, so I recommend anybody who is interested to go there.
I want to say something interesting with DNS filtering. As I told you, everyone was working around the DNS filtering, and including the prime minister. So for whom was the filter used? I think it's interesting to ask this question, because people were somehow content that YouTube was being filtered, because it somehow meant that we don't need YouTube, we have our websites, we have our national pride. So it's also somehow ideological. Okay.
Hi. Oh, yeah. If your government is putting people to jail for writing books, you probably shouldn't use One Hope web proxies. Have you seen how Tor works in Iran and China and these kind of countries, like bridges? Which you probably should use something a bit more sophisticated than One Hope web proxies, because it's dangerous. It starts getting dangerous after a while. And censorship equipment are getting quite trendy lately because of those conferences like ISS World and stuff. And everyone is buying DPI equipment and it's getting more and more hardcore. So you probably should get much better in circumventing censorship than, yeah. That's all.
In fact, we in Alternative Bilişim, we want to improve ourselves in technical side. We lack technical efficiency. We just take it easy for now, but maybe sometime later we'll need...
Yeah, they are not taking really easy, though, if they're putting people in jail. Yeah, they are not taking it really easy themselves.
Yeah.
Any more questions? So I see no more.
I mean, maybe just a comment on all of that. I think there's so many elements to all of this. I think on the one hand, we definitely need like more civil society organizations. I mean, Alternative Bilişim is something people are doing on their free time. And I think those are always the best projects and all that. But it does mean, you know, it does mean that those people get depleted and burnt out eventually. I think that goes to almost all the comments that are made, you know, even the translation thing. I mean, a lot of people can do this on their own time. And I think there's maybe ways of doing it more efficiently by creating a community for translations and stuff like this. And maybe we should work on those. Excuse me?
Wikibooks.
Okay. Yeah.
Of course.
But I mean, there's on the one hand, like crowdsourcing as a possibility, but I think we also have to think about developing infrastructure, like alternative infrastructures, and that means money at some point as well. But maybe just a side note. Bye.
Zita Barış, thank you for your talk and thank you for your great work. Give him a warm hand of applause. The next talk in this room will be at 8:30. It's going to be Bug Planet, also on surveillance industry and countries acting. And another announcement. The European Data Protection and the Internet of Things will be simultaneously translated in room B04, which is the